Good morning. Our Old Testament reading is from Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Romans 11, 33 through 12:8. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Or who has given him a gift that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We're continuing in Romans. We're still going through. It's been a long summer, but we're enjoying it all the way through. We get to enjoy it even into the middle of next month, so keep being excited for Romans. It's very fun. Last week, we got to see how the focus that Paul was moving into after the whole concept that we're brought into God's family, the next thing he was talking about was how the will of God is that, really, all people would be shown mercy in Jesus Christ. That his love and his mercy, his forgiveness is for all people. And we pick up right after that, immediately following that. Literally, the verse before is, for God has consigned all to disobedience. That means even if you haven't heard the law, you're still considered disobedient and sinful. So that he may have mercy on all. Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. How amazing is it? It was hard not to say this last week. How amazing is it that everyone would get to receive mercy? What an amazing thing. I've been waiting to say that since last Sunday, by the way. I didn't want to jump on this Sunday, but it really works out for us, so it's good. How amazing, the depth of God's riches, that everyone should receive his mercy. This is the same God of the Old Testament, of everything, you know, the whole of all time, who said to a specific people, I will be your God, and you will be my people. That's pretty exclusive to the rest of us that are not in that people group. How amazing. The depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. What a great thing that we would be included as those he wants to show mercy to. Who said, I am your God and you are my people. I know that Linda will appreciate this with the connection to baptism here. That word, oh, the depths of the riches, you can hear it if you're thinking about it, not just how deep in your mind or in your heart it is to say it is a great thing to receive God's mercy. It is a specific depth word, bathos. You can hear the word bath in it. It's a water word, a depth of water. How amazing is it that we would receive his mercy? I think we're supposed to hear that word and read into it a baptism language. How amazing is it that everybody should be called his people, not through that bloodline, but rather through the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, through being baptized into Christ's death and his resurrection. I can say that with confidence because you see what's coming. You've already heard it. We're talking about being in Christ, one body in him. You are baptized into Christ. You are now in his life, and you are in this church, this group of people who have all been baptized into this one body. You as an individual are a part of God's church with Christ as the head of it. Right after hearing God's mercy is for everyone, the next thought is, not only everyone as individuals, but everyone in one body, his church in Christ. This God, who in the Old Testament would sure seem really exclusive, is showing, no, no, the plan was always to include all people who would have faith and trust in him. On top of that, we then get this wonderful quote straight out of Job. Job, who is a part of our same church, a part of our same group of individuals that are actually one body. Even though he lived and died before Jesus Christ, his hope was in the Lord. His hope and trust was in God. He's the one who's saying, God, you're right. How inscrutable are your ways? I don't know. If quick summary of Job, right? Job has everything bad happen to him after having everything good happen to him before. Everyone thinks, Job, what have you done wrong? It must be terrible. You must have been terrible. Stop it. Job's like, I've done nothing wrong. I don't know what's going on. And at some point he finally says, God, what is going on here? Why is this happening? And God responds, who are you? Were you the one that stretched out the measuring dice over the sea and the land to know everything? Summary version of several chapters there. Job's right. You're right. I don't understand. You are God. Who am I to question you? I trust in you. And God says, I will continue to show mercy on you and bless you. And Job gets everything back. It's great. And tenfold. That doesn't mean that it's perfectly going to happen for us in the same way, but he's a part of our same people group. He's a part of our church on earth. He is a part of this church here. We can rejoice with him that we don't understand everything that God does, but we can sure trust in him in the same way. The last stanza of the song we just sang makes that statement, it gives that statement some more color and some more life. Yet she on earth, that's God's church on earth, has union. We are united with God, the three in one. We are united with God. And a mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is one. We are united with God in Jesus Christ. We are united with all of the saints in Jesus Christ, everyone who has gone before us, such that anyone who would ever have trusted in Jesus would also, and trusted in the promise of the Savior, even before Jesus' birth, everyone we are connected to in one holy church. This mystic communion, this thing that we don't understand. When we have the communion of the saints, right? I've mentioned this before, but it's great imagery, so I'm going to say it again. I'm sorry. When we come here to this altar rail, you only see a portion of it. But the idea of the altar rail is that when you come to receive Christ's body and blood, that one body that would unite us to everyone, giving everyone his mercy, it's not just one short little line here. It's actually connected as one large ring. It goes out around the building. It goes all the way around the outside through the grass, which has been nicely weeded. Thank you, Marty, and those who have been helping with that. It comes back out around this way. Not going on to 212. We don't want to go that far. And it comes back in here, right onto the line. And we are in one body, one circle, one communion with everyone, with the cross at our center, with Jesus' death for our sins and resurrection giving us life. All of it brings us together. We are united. God wants all people to receive mercy. He wants all people to come together in love and in charity, in support of one another, all in one church. I still think the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has the most theology right. But all other Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, people who have their faith and trust in Jesus, are even a part of this too. I can go up to a fellow Christian and say, brother, even though I have no idea who they are. I can go up to a sister in need and help her and call her sister. We have one united family. We covered that in the previous chapters. And now we have one united church. Then we pick up in chapter 12. Knowing this to be true, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers. That includes you. Yay, Paul's talking to you. Very nice. I appeal to you by the mercies of God. God has been merciful to bring you to this point. To present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So for all of you who have been shown God's mercy, all you individuals united as one mystic communion, the one church, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. And in this you will worship. Which means that if you happen to be traveling and you don't get to worship with us here on Sunday morning, you can still worship with us every day. When you live and you act in a way that would bring Christ to others, when you present yourselves as a living sacrifice, all that you do, you're still worshiping with us. I wish this had come at the beginning of summer before all of your vacations. I'm happy to see some of you back, though. It's good. Wherever we are, we worship together in our church with Christ at the head. And here are ways we can do it then. He continues on. before we get into different specific acts or specific gifts, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our picture for today has this weighing out device. There's a special name for it. I just forgot. It's gone from my mind and I didn't write it down. Who knows the name of this device? A scale. That's great. We'll use that one. It's perfect. There was a different one I saw online. It's a scale. Yay. For all of you online, it's a scale. We have a scale presented for us to be able to discern, to weigh out, to test if something is good or right, to understand just what is the right thing and the real thing, to discern what is the will of God and what is false and pretending to be. Perhaps you have experience with these types of scales, these balancing scales. My only recollection specifically from school was enjoying how much we could stack on one side and then like what other thing, how much we can push down on the other side, like balance it just right and perfect. I had a friend who did that too far and broke it, and it was very sad. We had our project for our little table was done that day. But this idea of being able to balance out using this scale to see exactly what is true and perfect. This is what Paul says we should be transformed to do. Do not conform yourself to the world. Do not balance yourself with what is false. Know what is the will of God and learn to try to be in balance with this will of God. Remember, we already covered that last week in the parts right before this. The will of God is that everyone would receive mercy. Anything that is different than that, anything that would preach something different than that, anything that would say, oh, we love or we bring charity and kindness, but actually it's a false type of love and a false type of mercy, any of those things might pretend to be the right thing. But when weighed with the depth of understanding, the true weight of what Jesus Christ has done for the whole world, it just can't hold up. It doesn't have the same strength. So then being transformed to understand, to learn, to know, to work on seeing God's will in the world, that is how we can continue to be further transformed in Christ. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. It's easy for us to think, okay, I've heard this before. I've read Romans 11 and 12. What am I doing later today? Pastor's going to go on for another 16 and a half minutes. I can get it figured out. There are different times and different ways where we have different strengths, of course. And yes, you, I'm sure, have heard this before. We should never think of ourselves so highly as to say, you know what, I am above learning something new from God's word, hearing it and being transformed by it differently. I know the will of God, that all would receive mercy. I am certain I'm not the first pastor who has told that to you. We know that to be true, but this transforming of us continues to happen every day. God continues to work on us through his Holy Spirit given to you in faith. He continues to transform us to further understand this scale, to balance, to see God's will in the world, to be better sharers of his mercy than we've been before. As we continue to understand how merciful he's been to us, we know how much more we should give it to others. So, with all this in mind, then, we get into what sounds like a laundry list of things, a good opportunity to do a spiritual gifts inventory. I've also done a lot of those in the past. I don't know if you've ever had yours. It might shock you as someone who would later become a pastor. Acts of mercy was pretty high for me. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. So before we get too far into your spiritual gifts, we are all members of one body, individuals of one another. That means that, yes, you are your own person. At the risk of saying it too flippantly, you are your own personal snowflake. You are just unique and perfect, and God has made you different than anyone else before you. But you're a part of my body. You're a part of the body of the person next to you. You're a part of the same body, the church, throughout the whole world. You are not just an individual. You are a part of a unit, a whole. This is a nice verse to have in my pocket for people who have been, more often than not, hurt or burned by the church. Whenever you find people who say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. So I found it to be full of a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of people who say that they're good and holy and then act differently, you know, Monday through Saturday, sometimes even Sunday afternoon. I don't go to church because I've been burned by something there in the past, or I've seen other Christians live their lives poorly. It's so sad to hear those stories and to feel awful for these people that have been hurt by the church. It's a real pain. It's a real sadness. I've heard from some of you that you have experienced that in other churches and in even this church sometimes. It happens because the church on earth is full of God's people who are all sinners, myself included. However, that hurt and that pain, though it affects you, often to your core, does not remove who you are. You are still God's chosen child. You are still the one he has shown mercy to and the one who he said, I need you to be in my body, the church. This is one church, not just Christ the Vine. This is one church on earth, the followers of Jesus Christ. I need you to be in that church. It's both good for you and your soul, we're told, to hear God's word and to be a part of the community, but it's good for the community to have you. Again, great children's message, Marty. Perfect. If I don't have my eggs for my batter, it's not going to work out really well. I am remiss to not share that I've done this before. My children have seen it, that I love to make pancakes, but I'll do it in my mouth for chapel messages for children. It's great. It's really wonderful. You see, you start, I'm telling you this in case you want to do it for a chapel sometime. Our chapels are starting up very soon, 11 o'clock on Wednesday mornings. Anyway, I would take I would take flour and I'd say, you know what, guys, today we're making pancakes. The problem is I didn't bring a griddle and I didn't bring a pan, and you know, I'm just going to make it, I'll make it for myself. You can just enjoy it through me. It'll be great. I'll take the flour and I'll put it in my mouth, blah, 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 and I'll put some flour in my mouth. It's a little dry. If you say it just right, you make a big cloud of flour. It's very exciting. The kids in the front row get a little flour on them. It's fine. Then you take a little bit of, it's really dry. I'm going to put some milk in there next. Pour some milk in. It's very nice. Get to the milk quickly. Otherwise, it dries up in your throat. Not good. So you put in the milk. Okay, well, that's nice. But, you know, I like my pancakes with syrup. Maybe I'll put some syrup in the batter. Squirt some syrup in your mouth. Your blood sugar spikes. It's fine. You go through it, and it's like, maybe a little bit more sugar just on top, a little sprinkle of sugar. Blood sugar is off the charts now. It's bad. But you know what? Oh, I'm forgetting one thing. It needs eggs in there. I don't have the protein. It's not going to fluff up the right way. So I have an egg I've already cracked into a little container, a clear container. And I take off the lid, and I go to pour it in my mouth Rocky style. And the kids are, no, no, no. Some people are saying, yeah, do it. No. And I've never done it. I'm not as cool as Rocky. I don't drink the raw egg. I stop there, and I say, clearly this isn't all working. I had all these different ingredients, and I just kind of threw them in, and I tried to see what happened. They're not going to be a pancake. Not in my mouth, not for any of you. It's not going to work out for us. You need all the ingredients. You need to mix them all together in the right way, use them for the right purpose. You fry them up, It's delicious. It smells great. Everyone smells the pancakes. They love it. They come and they eat it, and everyone's happy. It works perfectly when you have all these ingredients together, working as one, the way they were designed and told to do it. If you put it all together and you have these great pancakes, you have what was designed and intended by the recipe giver. You can see where we're going with this, hopefully, without me having to actually do this. I don't want to cover these nice robes in front of me in flour. This is God's church. You're in it right now. You have your own gifts, your own skills that he's given you. Those gifts and skills change over time. And who knows what things you've done in your past which will become now useful and helpful in God's church in the future. The only way that you'll know what God's church needs is if you're in the church. If you're off on your own saying, I'm just going to have a personal relationship with Christ, you're missing out on what God is doing in his church and through his church by being a part of it, by being a part of this one body. You get to share in his ministry. You get to support each other and support those who need to hear the gospel, and you yourself will be supported. Don't chop off, you know, your own self and remove yourself away from the body. And then with that in mind, however you find yourself being put to use, doing God's will, sharing his mercy, he has this list of gifts: prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, contributions, leadership, mercy. These are all great sounding things. Rather than focusing on each of those gifts and saying, ooh, which one do I want to have? Or which one do I hope that God gives me? Look at how you're supposed to do them and see if there's something that stands out. For instance, if prophecy, well, then prophesy in proportion to faith. Don't just go out saying stuff. Faith in God is what is truly going to bring good prophecy. Service in our serving. Don't say, man, I'm great at works of service, and then say, great, I'm going to go home now. Serve. Actually be there to serve. Don't come to be served, but to serve. Again, this is starting to sound kind of familiar. For the one who teaches in his teaching, if you've learned a lot about God's word, if you have studied it, share what knowledge you have. It's good for you to have it. That's great. You know the Bible. Good job. You've studied it. Share it with those who need to learn more. For those who exhort, or in his exhortation, if you see something that is going wrong, if you see something is going not well, do so, or go to people and say, this is not right. Notice, though, when exhortation happens in the Bible, when Jesus is exhorting people, sometimes it is with, you know, throwing tables over and whips and things. More often than not, it's in a teaching and loving way. I follow the laws perfectly, Jesus. So how do I get to go to heaven now? Says the rich young ruler. Oh, well, just give up all that you have and come and follow me. Really? And he walks away. That's Jesus exhorting somebody, saying, what you're doing is wrong, you don't even realize it, but here's what to work on. It doesn't have to be big and wild, but we see how Jesus does it. For the one who contributes in generosity, Jesus Christ, who gives wholly of himself, generously of himself, does not retain anything, says, don't let your left hand know what the right hand's doing. Just give. Just make it happen. For the one who leads, do it with zeal. We don't always have the best leaders' examples. When you look in the rest of the Bible, Moses, God, what are you doing? They're grumbling. It's been 38 years. It's been a long time in the desert. I'm done with them. Oh, you think you're done with them. But we see in Jesus Christ, the one who continues to teach his disciples the same thing over and over, the same way he teaches us over and over with love and joy to do it, not just grumbling about it. And then we come to the last one. The one who does acts of mercy. Should have little light bulbs going off. We've heard the word mercy a lot over the last few chapters. For the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. We've known the will of God is to show mercy to the whole world. The act of his whole church on earth is to share that will to the one who would do acts of mercy. I really think it should be to all the members who do acts of mercy in different ways. Do it with cheerfulness. Cheerfully say, thanks, God, for making me a part of your church. Thank you for showing me your mercy and for giving me your family. To say that I get to be in this one body. Use me as you will. Even in all of these, though, we have the image of the one body, Jesus Christ, who's done it for us. Jesus is the one who has the perfect amount of faith and trust in what the Father has sent him to do. He is the one who serves perfectly. He is the one who teaches us all that we need. He is the one who exhorts us in love. He is the one who contributes and gives to us generously, far more than we deserve. He is the one who leads us with zeal as the firstborn of all of God's children. He is the one who has shown us great mercy with cheerfulness to say, I'm here to save you. He wants you to receive God's love and mercy. All of these things is just to say, if you're serving in God's church, if you're serving in the one body, Jesus Christ, keep being transformed. Keep saying, God, change me and use me. Help me to be more like the body that I'm a part of. Help me to be more like Christ, the one who has done everything that I need, the one who's provided for me in all these ways. If your will is that I would receive mercy, then mercifully use me to bring that to other people. And the great news is he'll continue to do that. This exhortation from Paul not to be conformed to the ways of the world, it's one that we probably need to hear more often than we do. But be transformed instead. Be transformed by the renewal that comes through the Holy Spirit. Be transformed by the new life you have in the baptism that has made you and marked you as one of God's own children. And trust and believe that his mercy is for you each and every day. And may that peace that comes from understanding that continue to guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, brother.